Zero to Book is brought to you by Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing and sales podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
A lot of people aspire to write a book. Maybe you do, but you probably know it's a complex process. Zero to Book is documenting the journey from start to finish so you can learn how to take your book from an idea to a published product. Listen in as best-selling author Jeff Goins helps Pamela Wilson go from zero to book.
All right, Jeff. So in the last episode, we covered the big idea. We were talking about different ways to make it interesting, to appeal to a niche audience, and a little bit about that tug of war between trying to appeal to a mass audience and trying to niche down to a smaller audience. And I am wondering, because the way we left it off last time, you were talking about testing your idea and how that was kind of the next logical step. And I would love to hear more about that.
It was a cliffhanger. I mean,
it was.
This is basically like Serial.
It totally is. It's Serial for the budding author. It totally is.
What's going to happen to this book? yeah, I mean, it's if you don't have an audience, I would say you need to not write a book. You need to build an audience. But if you don't have an audience, you're writing this book sort of blindly going, who's going to read this? What are they going to think? And unless you just have a ton of research or some sort of great personal story, you're kind of, you know, shooting blindly. You're hoping it connects. And even when you write a book, you're going, I hope this connects with the right person. They think the things that I want to think. And there's all kinds of surprising, you know, discoveries. But as much as possible, I think it's good to make informed decisions. And so you have an audience and there is a larger market for this book of content marketers that you have access to through the resources of Copyblogger and just other people in the industry that you know that you could tap, you know, for advice or feedback or whatever. I think it's really important when you've got an idea, and I think it sounds like you've already been floating this idea a little bit, but I think it's really important to get that idea out there a lot. Incidentally, Pat Flynn, who you may know and maybe familiar to some of your audience, who runs a podcast and a blog called Smart Passive Income. I was just talking to him about his new book called Will It Fly, which should be just coming out about now, which is all about idea validation. And he talks about starting a business and how you go from idea to business. And we're talking about essentially going from idea to book. But one of the things that he talks about in that book is how do you validate your idea? Because so many people get married to their ideas and they pursue it, especially with a business, and they pursue it to bankruptcy because they're not willing to listen to how the market will respond. And in some cases, I think it is even more problematic for authors who go, this is what I got to say. And once you write it, it's done. I mean, once you launch a business, you can kind of change things. You're not going to write a book about concept A and then realize you needed to talk about concept B, tear that thing off the shelf and start over. It's kind of out there. So you want to make sure that you get this idea as, you know, close to what it needs to be as possible. Meaning at a certain point, before, you know, you write too much of the book, I would say after you get the idea, maybe around the time you start outlining the book. And so if you're going to work with a, you know, traditional publisher, you've got your proposal together at this point. This is the concept of the book really fleshed out. And if you're self-publishing, you still want to outline it and say, here's what I want to say. Here's how I want to say it. Now, is this true? And is this interesting? And I could make little tweaks along the way, but I need to make sure this is not only a good idea, but something that people go, I've been waiting for that. Because if it's not an I've been waiting for that, and you've got some of that validation already, which you talked about in the last episode, if it's not that kind of book, in my opinion, it's not worth writing. Because nobody buys a book that they go, yeah, like that's not bad. I need to get around to that. We buy books where we go, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting to hear about the softer side of Steve Jobs.
Right.
Thank you. I want to check that out. You know, right. I've been waiting for the book that tells me I can work 4 hours a week or whatever. You're not just waiting for sort of a vanilla thing. And, you know, as you said, you were getting some of that validation. I'm curious, how much diligence do you feel like you've already done? And how much is there left to do?
It's interesting because some of it has been direct conversations with people where I explain the premise of the book. And like I said in the last episode, their eyes get big and they go, I need that book. You need to write that book because I need that book. So some of it has been like that. And then some of it has just been me noticing the needs among the members of the copy blogger audience. I noticed them on my own blog on Big Brand System. Anytime I was interacting with people who were creating content, you know, there are a lot of people who talk about how to do content marketing, but I literally want to walk them through from top to bottom how to put a post together. And I don't think anyone has done that, not in book form, not in a form that's like a reference manual, practically an easy, fun to read reference manual. It's different than what's out there, and it's different than, you know, reading a blog post. This is going to be a physical object that will serve as a help. And I told you at one point, you know, my dream for this is for it to become a piece of software. So it's literally going along with you as you do your writing, giving you advice and helping you to create and kind of shape your content. So I've done some of it, and some of it has been my observation over the years and just listening, you know, listening to what people say. And I do, because of the position I have now at Rainmaker Digital, I'm Executive Vice President of Educational Content, which means I'm creating a lot of educational material. Some of it is in the form of courses. Some of it is in the form of launch materials that I put together that educate and then offer a product. And then some of it is in the form of blog posts on Copyblogger. So there's a lot of teaching that goes on right on the blog on a weekly basis. And I'm looking at the feedback that we get in all of those places. We're actually, I think I mentioned to you, and by the time this episode comes out, this will be the new reality, but I am bringing comments back to Copyblogger. I told you that, didn't I?
I don't think you did. That's
exciting, good. Huh?
I think so. I think it's a good move.
That was actually one of the first things that I said when I got it put into the position. I'm like, you want me to run the editorial team? Okay, awesome. You know, I want to bring back comments, right? So, you know, as a writer, I have really missed them. And now as part of the team, I've missed them as well. I've just missed having that interaction, that direct interaction with the audience. So it's going to be a little bit different than how we've done it in the past. They're going to be open for 7 days only. So it's,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's like you have an opportunity to make comments, but not forever. So if you're truly interested, stop by and tell us what you think. So, yeah, I'm hoping that that will make it easier because there were really compelling business reasons to close down comments before. We just did not have the manpower to handle monitoring all those comments. And we had them open forever and ever. So we were monitoring that day's comments, comments from the week before, the month before, the year before. I mean, there's just so much content on there. So I'm hoping that this will make it easier to manage. And it will also just give us a chance to interact with our community members and our readers. So I'm excited about that. So, that's going to be an opportunity also to just get, you know, on previous posts before we closed down comments, I used to read the comments religiously. And when I would write these how-to kinds of posts that were very step-by-step, do this, do this, do this, people seemed to love them. They just reacted so positively to them. So that was another reason that I started thinking, you know, we need to put something like this in book form.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I remember reading, I think it was a post on ProBlogger years ago, talking about how putting a time limit on comments will actually get you more comments per post.
Interesting. That's not why I'm doing it, actually, but that's really interesting.
Right.
We've talked
spam and stuff.
We've talked about it a lot. Yeah. And the spam tends to happen on the older posts. That's a thing. So we've talked about it a lot behind the scenes. You know, I was like, okay, I want to bring back comments. And then it was like, okay, how can we make this actually work? You know, Brian Clark's comment to me was, I'm not going to write that post. I'm like, it's okay. I've got the post written in my head. I'll explain it. So because it was such a big deal when they closed down. But, you know, it was always presented as an experiment. And so much of what we do is experimental. And I just think it's time to experiment with bringing them back in a limited way, and we'll see what happens. It's still an experiment. I mean, none of these decisions are really permanent. We're just experimenting to see what happens. So anyway, I don't want to get completely off track and make this episode about comments on CopyBlogger, but what I would like to hear more about is this idea of testing your idea. And, you know, you said if you have an audience, it can be really helpful. So what does that look like? What does testing your idea with your audience look like?
So I went on this ski trip with a group of guys not too long ago. And one of the guys on the group was a blogger and had this great idea. I mean, this incredible idea. I loved it. I was like, this is a cultural phenomenon. This could be something that people talk about. You know, like how like things become things.
Yeah.
Like the idea of a love language.
Uh-huh.
More people use that term than have read the book, right?
Yes.
Like things catch on and we don't know where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
When you can coin an idea like that, that's huge. This is one of those ideas. He goes, man, I think I should write a book about this, and I don't know, should I do it like this or that, or should I self-publish or do that? And I said, well, have you written a blog post about it? He said, well, no, I haven't done that. I said, well, I would start there. If you haven't written a blog post about it and you're dreaming of writing a book about it, you are several steps ahead of where you need to be. The first step is to put the idea out there. People are so concerned with their big book ideas that they just want to hold on to those things. We're worried about people stealing those ideas. Again, to mention this Pat Flynn book. I wish he were paying me. Pat is actually sponsoring the show.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just kidding. No.
As of this moment, Pat, we just want to let you know.
Yeah. No, he and I were just talking about this. Two things in that conversation that I had with him stood out to me. One was he mentioned this conversation that he had with a guy named John Saddington, who had built and sold several seven-figure businesses. And that's what he does. He builds and sells businesses. And Pat was just asking him questions about that. He says, what do you do when you have this idea? And John says, I don't shut up about it. I talk to everybody about it. He says, I will actually go to coffee shops and I will walk up to strangers. And I was like, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Because I want to tell you about something and I want your feedback on it.
Wow.
And Pat's like, well, aren't you worried that people will steal it and that they won't understand and da da da? And he says, yeah, exactly. First thing is, if they don't understand it, I don't have a good enough idea of what the idea is. If I can't explain it where the average person off the street can understand it, then I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
This is at least true with the kind of businesses that he's trying to build and sell. I think there's probably more truth to that than we want to realize. Like, if it's super complicated, you got to know the jargon, then it's probably not as clear even to the people that you're trying to write to as you think it is. The second thing he says is, look, nobody's going to steal your idea. Ideas are cheap.
They are, yeah. It's implementation. It's all about implementation.
Right. Yeah. So nobody's going to steal your idea, but what you can get, the amount of risk that you have to take to put the idea out there and the small risk that somebody might steal it, is worth the reward of people giving you valuable feedback that helps steer you in the direction where you realize, I thought this was really the way people thought about this, or this is what they needed, but what they really needed was this. You know, case in point, you're bringing back comments because you're going, I don't know what people need, and I want to look at those comments and break it down so that they're getting exactly what they're missing. And in all reality, if CopyBlogger was doing everything that if it was reading its customers and audiences' minds, on the blog, then you wouldn't have those comments. But the reality is you write about something, but then it generates, well, what about this, you know?
Exactly. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
because
right.
you think that you have been so incredibly clear in your
right.
post, and
of course.
Then somebody in the comment section says, you know, what did you mean by this part? And so that kind of feedback, I love that because it spurs, first of all, it gives you an opportunity to explain yourself and clear up any confusion right there in the comment section. But it also gives you all these ideas for other posts, other things yeah. that you obviously need to talk about. So I am really, really looking forward to getting that kind of feedback back.
Yeah.
And this is actually making me feel much better because I have actually been writing about the topic that I want to create a book around for years because honestly, I was this person who in 2010 had never written anything longer than a long email to clients. I mean, I really was not a writer at all. And in 2010, I sent my first post into Copyblogger, and within a couple of months, they invited me to write every month as a guest writer. And I've had this whole journey, and that's what I want to share with people is how that all happened. And, you know, while it was happening, I was kind of talking about how I was learning to write. And so I've got, if you go back to my archive on Copyblogger, I've got all these posts about how to style your post, how to plan your post, how to write one piece of strong content every week and the process that I use. So I've been writing ideas that will end up in this book for years.
Mm-hmm.
And people have liked them.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the first thing that I would say, and you've already done this, is before you start planning a book, at least write a blog post. And if you don't have an audience, go publish something on Medium.com or LinkedIn or one of these places where you have a built-in audience. And if the idea catches on, it could literally turn into a book. There is a book that came out maybe a couple of years ago now called The Crossroads Between Should and Must.
Hmm.
By Ellie Luna, I think is her name. And it started as a manifesto that she wrote on Medium and it went viral. Millions of people read it. And a New York publisher contacted her and said, let's turn this into a book. And it became a book.
Wow.
And it was an article that, you know, she wrote on Medium. So it really is important to begin with, hey, I've got this idea. Flesh out an article. I read another book this past year called Make Art, Make Money by Elizabeth Hyde Stevens, which is a business book about the career of Jim Henson.
And it's about, cool.
Yeah, you would love it. It's all about the things that he did as a creative entrepreneur that allowed him to succeed in business without selling out. So he could keep his creativity, but not go broke, you know? And then the decisions that he made, the things that he said yes to, the things that he said no to, in order to make an impact on the world in the way that he wanted to do it and also make a living doing it. That started as a long form article that she wrote for some, you know, online newspaper about Jim Henson, which I think was probably, you know, timed with his birthday or something. And it was about, you know, the history of the Muppets and the business lessons that we learned from them or whatever. And it was this long form article. It turned into a book. And I like this approach for two reasons. One, sometimes your big idea is only a blog post. Like
right.
you say everything that you need to say in 500 or 1500 words and you're done.
Right. Right.
And that's good. Don't take 1500 word blog post and turn it into a 50,000 word book. You can tell when you read a book and you go, okay, I got the idea. It's in the introduction.
You can stop now.
I'm done. You don't right. need to give me 11 other illustrations. I get it.
Right.
But if you go, man, I am just beginning to touch the tip of the iceberg on this and I'm getting hundreds of comments, people going, yeah, but what about this? And what about this? And what about this? You go, okay, well, maybe this is a series and you turn it into a series, or maybe this is a blog post and you realize, yeah, like I still have more to say. This has got to be a book. And I think that's a great way to validate an idea. And I would encourage you to keep doing that as you're writing the book. Not that you have to write the book in public and share stuff all the time, but I think it's good that as these ideas formulate and as you kind of work through this manual, this handbook, this step-by-step process, that at any moment people can open up and go, oh yeah, that's how I do that. I think it's really important that you continually as you would go to the comments or whatever, test stuff out there and get feedback as you go. Because the alternative is you put your best idea out there and people go, yeah, I don't know. Or, but what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And you realize I should have put that in the book, and you don't want to have that kind of regret.
Right. Yeah. I would rather know up front for sure. Well, Jeff, thank you so much. This has been super helpful as usual, and we will be back next time with the next step of the process. I'm going to be asking you about the book writing process next, I think. So about just what it looks like, you know, so be ready.
I have an idea.
Oh, what's that?
You're such a gracious host, and I keep throwing these wrenches into our plans. Drama. Here's my idea. I don't know who's listening to this or how many people are listening to it or how they can necessarily respond to us, except with maybe a bat signal or something.
We'll have a comment section on the show notes page.
Good, good.
Yeah, comments are open on the show notes page on Rainmaker FM. And actually, this show should have the URL 02book.fm. So people can go there.
So what I want is this. We gotta put this into practice. We can't just talk about the concepts. Like, you're working on a book. The whole point of this podcast is to go from zero to a book. We're working through this process in real time. Like we said before, this is just like cereal. This is literary cereal. Well, I don't think we have any delusions of grandiosity there.
No.
Nobody's
getting murdered, but you know. It's just as compelling.
You never know. This is called making an author. That's that Netflix show. Hopefully you're into that. you've got a tough job dealing with me here. I think we should test this out. So
yeah.
We believe that we have an idea, about this. I kind of want to recap the short little tagline, big idea that you have. But this is the audience, in theory, that would read this kind of book, at least some of these people, some of these crazy listeners. I think we should ask them, is this an idea that resonates? Or what are the questions that you still have about, you don't have to be a great writer to, you know, do content marketing. You know, we need some sort of reference tool that's going to, you know, allow us to do our work as content marketers. Listener, is this an idea that resonates with you? I'd love to hear from you about that. I think that would be great feedback for us, and especially for you, Pamela, as you're working on this book.
I think that's a great idea. So they can go to 02book.fm and leave comments on this episode and just let us know. I'll make sure I put a couple of questions in the show notes that people can respond to. We would love to hear from you.
Yes. Yes. I think that'd be great. And zero is not the numeral, but Z-E-R-O. Is that right?
Z-E-R-O-T-O-B-O-O-K. I'm assuming this is still early in the process, but normally we're able to get those URLs. So it should go straight there.
Cool. No hyphens. No,
no, no hyphens.
No ampersands. Cool.
Yes. Straight there.
Okay.
Thanks everyone for listening. And Jeff, I will catch you next time. I can't wait to talk about the next thing.
My pleasure.